Kevin has secret talents.
Audio.
We're studying what it means to love one another and how that's manifested or not manifested in group. So let's go to James chapter 2. Verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted or convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And so, and it goes on down in verse 12, it says, and so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. People tend to surround themselves with people like them, they have the same value systems. And you enjoy that. You enjoy when you can sit and discuss things. But the body of Christ, the precursor to the what's happened in the church today was at the synagogues in Jerusalem. There used to be just, you know, a total whoever mixture of everybody. Then they started having synagogues by had the Highland Park synagogue and the University Park synagogue and the Pleasant Grove synagogue and the Trade Union synagogue what happened then is the same thing that happens now. You go to the church or the synagogue of your choice because you're with people like you, people you can feel comfortable with. And that's probably the exact wrong church or synagogue that you should go to. You should go where there's a divergence of value systems and divergence of opinions and politics and everything else, so that difference slowly tends to cause you to either see something or else the antagonism will be so great you leave. In the true church, it should have no opinions about anything in time and space. And the true church, in order to fulfill this royal law, you should exist equally for all people at all times. There is never a respect of persons. And so what happens in a group is you still have these cliques of people that you get together and you go eat with and you blah-de-da. But this another mystery happens. And then we started to talk about it the other day. You can serve other men by your sensory distinctions and think you're fulfilling this royal law.
Sensory
distinctions. So the distinctions by what your senses tell you. But what in truth what you're doing is you ignore others, and if anybody that you perceive is in charge, you sort of have like this cowardly pride about it because you can sit constantly in judgment and not say anything and have all these little
things that come up in your mind that you think what they're doing wrong. And then you end up, if you do that with anyone, then you will automatically do it with those that you despise. So you will automatically have those within the group that you look down upon. And it doesn't matter what group you're in, this will always occur if you go by the senses, go by your Adamic nature. There will always be those that you look down upon because they, for a thousand reasons, or those that you feel are dangerous to you, so you silently ignore or judge secretly. Now, you put a true believer in this mix and it just destroys everything. Because you're always called. Something will always call you in this. It may not be any verbal exhortation, but there's something that happens that causes you to say, wait a minute, something is weird here. Because I am not existing equally for all persons. I am existing in a way that conforms to my earthly distinctions. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And it's really evil. It is evil beyond evil because it's never called. It's never, you can always justify it. You can always. And so, again, I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm telling you to repent. This royal law of liberty is something, it's the only thing that we're judged by. And that royal law of liberty is that you exist equally for all men and you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, my favorite kind are the kind that this secret arrogance, and you sit back and you don't think you're doing it, but you're consciously measuring everything, and you're constantly sitting in the judgment seat because you're looking and distinguishing and it's a never ending thing. And what it does, it's what I started to talk about when we first broached this subject, is that you, if there's somebody that's you think is powerful for some reason or another, then or if you work for somebody, then what you do is you secretly do everything that you're supposed to do, but you do it in such a way that the person that you're working for gets no pleasure from it. And
how do you mean they're not getting pleasure from it?
There's no camaraderie. You spend your life either thinking or talking with your peers about what that other person should be doing. You know, there's a way in which it becomes totally destructive from a spiritual standpoint. And again, we're not talking about the things that, it doesn't matter, I mean, these earthly distinctions and all that, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is how you respond to them. And whether or not you're party to that sort of silent conspiracy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can you see then that in doing so, then you don't fulfill the royal law of liberty because you are a respecter of persons? And this is a big deal because of what we just read. Let me read it again. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point is guilty of all.
Now, if you really say what's there, my God, what would happen then? Well, there'd be fire. There'd be explosions. But there would be life. Oh, I can't say that, because that person's an elder. Oh, I can't bring a charge. Well, you're already bringing the charge. In your mind, you've already done it. Is anybody am I communicating?
Are you saying, I'm trying to think about this. Are you saying that serving that individual instead of serving the Lord?
No, I'm saying you're a coward. Not you, but because you're not saying what's there, because you're afraid of conflict. What's so sick is you've justified it. It's easier to sneak through life with, you know, quiet, stately seclusion, quiet invisibility. But it's cowardice. It's abject cowardice. And that's what we've got. You know, I don't know if any of you remember, those of you who were here at the beginning, it was like the Third World War, every Bible study. Why was it like that? Because I like to make people mad at me. That's what Gary was convinced of.
Larry Ferguson was here.
No, that's not the reason. The reason is that everybody was called on their bullshit. Their little opinions. And now somehow as we've gotten older and older, then we've learned that it's safer not to always be in a state of conflict avoidance. It's safer to really not say that. It's much easier to go tell one of your friends about it instead of saying it openly. What?
I didn't want to offend you, so I put my hand on that. Coward.
You know, the visual I get of this is it's like we're all that I hear what you're talking about is the protective devices that protect this little inadequate being that we are and try and maintain some image that we're not as weak and vulnerable and stupid. Everything,
so it shut people out, or
throw the walls, or keep it all quiet. Then that little bastard doesn't get exposed.
Well, it's what Jesus said. He who seeks to save his life shall lose it. And you save your life when you walk in conflict avoidance. Now you can say forever, "Well, that's just the way I am. That's just the kind of person I am." No, you're not. It's just common, ordinary flesh. Well, I'm just a quiet person by nature. Tell me about it. Your mind is going a mile a minute. You're just afraid to speak it.
I say what I'm thinking, all over my ass.
Now, is this amongst our own brothers?
It's amongst everybody. You exist outside. Equally for all men.
Even your boss.
Yeah, even your boss.
Looking for a loophole.
No. That's why we men love darkness. Let's look at that. Let's go to John 3. And since Ronnie isn't here, Big John.
Here,
Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they were wrought in God. Now, what we studied last night in Isaiah 26 was that this incredible premise that God has wrought all our works in us. And therefore, it's the logical extension that even the crap that you're thinking that may come up, that you try to suppress, was ordained of God and has a value. Do you see that as it's tautological? I mean, it follows. If God has wrought all our works in us, then even our most sickest issues, thoughts, lusts, fantasies have a value to the body of Christ. This is a big assumption. But it's no bigger than God has wrought all your other crap in you to bring you to the end of yourself. Can somebody argue with me if you don't believe it?
Well, plus we've seen the value of it. We've experienced it.
Yeah, so if we've experienced it then, why not now?
We're old.
That's not a good excuse. The value of it is that it causes this mystery of God to come together, that we are knit together in love. That when you say something, that sometimes you seem to be the vilest thing there is, that if abiding takes place, then the mystery of God is that it's knit together in love, and you then fulfill the royal law of liberty because you don't need to hide anymore. You don't need to secretly think you're superior and, oh, look at that dumbass, or you just be. But you can't, as far as, from my perspective anyway, I have never seen a place where you could just be.
Amen.
The closest thing that I've seen is here. Then it's, if that's the case, if this is a protected place where you can just be, then it's time to be. Again, you will always, forever and ever, your mind will always love the darkness. Now, it's not darkness black, it's darkness twilight. That's what that word means. It's so that in the twilight, you still have enough light to compare, but you don't have enough light to expose. Remember on the Feast of Tabernacles, the temple was built so that the light shone outward rather than shone inward, as most normal buildings are. And when those massive lamps were lit, it said that the light shone so brightly in Jerusalem and its environs that nothing could be hid. Well, if you were the temple of God, then that light should shine so brightly in you that it will manifest, nothing can be hid. You never improve darkness by analyzing it. You improve darkness by light. Now, again, each person, I don't care what kind of a bastard they are, every person is a conflict avoider in one way or another. That is no longer an excuse because it's simple and it's common and it's ordinary and it's just common flesh.
So now, do you have the courage to exist in total light? Am I communicating to anybody? You know, Gary's not afraid to say stupid things, but he's got as much hidden as any of us. What?
Oh, man. You're being stupid.
Now, the fruit of this, I promise you, is something mysterious. The fruit of this being is that you're always at peace. You're always tranquil. Because there's no inner turmoil going on. It's dangerous. And it's exist equally for all men in all environments. You don't treat your clients any different than you do here. You don't treat, I mean, this is what it means to fulfill the royal law of liberty. It doesn't excuse your ridiculousness, because 99.99% of the time, what you think is so important and such an important judgment will be proven to be crap. No. And all your sweet ideas will get flushed down the toilet.
Only if you expose them.
But the bottom line is you finally have peace of mind. You finally rest in confidence. You finally know that you know that you know you're on the mercy seat. And it's no longer just a thing that you hope to have as a possession. And that someday you know that it might be an inheritance, and you hope you someday can possess it, and every once in a while you get a whiff of it, but now you can dwell in it. You can never, ever leave it. You can be in that position if you so want. Instead of this constant, constant turmoil. Because whatever is hidden is empowered. Anybody have any response to any of this?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's the experience I've had for years and years and years is really, all it is about trying to get life from people rather than Christ. Last night when we sat in the Bible study and Joshua was just laying there, he didn't really care what anybody, he wasn't thinking, I wonder what people think. All he knew was that I'm just laying on dad, and this is nice. This is comfortable, and it's and all the conflict avoidance and all the kissing to people or
ass kissing.
It's just because we want to get life from people. We want to get value from them. I mean, you know, I know because I've done it.
Well, in spiritual terms, it means you don't want to be tested.
I mean,
there is no trial of faith.
Last couple of weeks.
Pardon?
Again, in the last couple of weeks, being out of the office, where I don't get to see as much of it or be reminded at least as much of it. I mean, we went into the shopping mall the other day, walked into one shop, which was the designer shop. They ignored Melanie and they spoke to me based on what people are wearing. It's stupid.
That's because it caters to metrosexuals.
Absolutely. And then, like the other day, I was sitting here thinking because someone was coming down this morning to meet me, and I thought, well, when he turns up in the car, everyone's going to look at me and say, yeah, that's typical, that's Mark, because the guy's going to turn up in this stupid Hummer. But then if you go in another environment, everyone's going to kiss his backside because, oh, yeah, a 60 grand car.
Right.
And it's all stupid.
It's all bullshit.
It's all stupid because it's all flesh. And it's all
well, let
dark.
Me tell you something. If any of you want a nice, good, undisturbed, comfortable place, you should leave today.
want a place where you can live in this grand isolation, constantly judging others down, you can leave today. I'm surprised that there's one person that listens to me, so it's not going to hurt my feelings. But if you want to be challenged, if you want to constantly be exhorted to put to the test, for the not for the purposes of disapproving, but for the purposes of being approved, if you want to be able to finally know what it means that I'm determined to speak of nothing until it is wrought in me by Christ Jesus, that rotting in you can only come by this kind of test, this kind of conflict. So if you want a good and nice, undisturbed, comfortable days on earth, leave this place. There's nothing for you here. You want to repudiate kinship, brotherhood? You want to be reserved towards insignificant and remain hidden from the powerful? This isn't a place for you.
The other day about stuff. His life is very full of turmoil, isn't that? But he had his little book there on yoga, and he would talk about, you know, unite with Buddha and everything would disappear or something. And I was just thinking about the contrast of Christianity and Jesus. It's filled with blood.
I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine that Passover on that year of Jubilee. According to Josephus, on that Passover, there were 250,000 lambs slaughtered. Because if it was a Jubilee year and people from all over the world had come in to get their lands back. <coughs> 250 slaughtered lambs. One lamb for each of the 10 to 20 people. That's a lot of people. But there, can you imagine the blood? But what has to be exposed is that thing we talked about last night. God didn't take the blood of his son and spatter it over the whole human race. We're forgiven, and we can forgive ourselves because we died and he lives. But every time you hide, every time you calculate, maneuver, you're exalting the evil one. You're raising the evil one from his deadly head wound. And you're giving life to the snake so you can eat on dust some more and never be filled. But let this be that Passover of Josiah, for which it was said, never had there been a Passover like this one. Let it be a time where there's total openness, where we truly burn the leaven of lack, the leaven of hypocrisy, and the leaven of not believing in the power of God. Where there's true forgiveness. All truces
Let him be gone. All these little deals you've made silently in some kind of a silent alliance because you don't want conflict. Let him be gone. Amen? Anybody have any response?
It's freedom. It costs you everything.
My observation is the room was very still while you were talking. Nobody was moving. Just let me know this, but I think inside there were just tornadoes. This touch is a deep place.
Anything that it brought up in you? Remember the philosophy versus confession? Anybody else?
I'm a coward.
You notice how it was deflected with humor?
That's what I do. It's exactly what you do. Really well.
I used to tell Michael, this place is custom made to piss you off.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to get customer.
Customized.
All righty, take a big gun.